This morning we are observing Palm Sunday. The activities of that day in Jerusalem begin the period of time that we call Holy Week. The prophets in the Old Testament predicted much of what occurred during that week, and the Gospels of the New Testament document the fulfillment of the prophecies. Biblical scholars, modern-day authors, and metaphysicians have added their own understanding of the events. We are familiar with the works of Joel Goldsmith of The Infinite Way and George Lamb's book, Gospel Light. Charles Fillmore added his comments in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary and The Revealing Word. Elizabeth Sand Turner shared her understanding in the book, Your Hope of Glory. In addition, I cannot forget the writings of the Divine Science founders, and I could go on and on. We benefit from their explanation and interpretation, pondering and providing their clarification and illumination. The Jewish people must observe three compulsory festivals. They are the Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Now, Jews from all over the world travel to Jerusalem for the Passover. Wherever a Jew may live, his ambition is to observe one Passover in Jerusalem. And at that time, you can imagine that Jerusalem and all of the nearby villages are very crowded. One particular year, there was an added attraction. News and rumor reported that Jesus, the man who had raised Lazarus from the dead, was on his way to Jerusalem. Now, there were two crowds of people to consider. There was the crowd that accompanied Jesus from Bethany, and the crowd which journeyed out from Jerusalem to see him. Now, some among the crowd were simply curious, sightseeing. Here was a man who, as rumor told it, had raised a man from the dead, and many simply wanted to see this sensational figure. It is always possible to attract people for a period of time by sensationalism and shrewd publicity, but it doesn't last. Many others were greeting Jesus as a conqueror, someone who would throw out the existing government, be their king, and rule over them. Some may have shouted, God save the king. Let us consider what is involved in preparing for a king's welcome. When Oriental kings and princes enter a city, the streets were cleaned, roads repaired, tapestries were hung on the buildings, and rugs were spread on the street. Easterners are very lavish and generous on such occasions. In a way, this reminds me of what happens when a foreign dignitary visits the President of the United States. Now, this greeting may not be quite as large. It might be on a somewhat smaller scale. I'm not sure that the streets are any cleaner or that any roads have been repaired. And I am certain that no one hangs tapestries or spreads rugs on the street. However, there is preparation in the form of a state dinner, welcoming accommodations, and radio and TV notifications announcing his or her arrival. In the Oriental tradition, a king's welcome includes a delegation composed of the governor, noblemen, bureaucrats, and priests, accompanied by a large crowd, leaving the city to greet and escort the royal guests. Sometimes a handsome horse, saddled with expensive adornment, embroidered with silk and gold, is offered as a token of the city's enthusiastic welcome. Now, the Hebrews used the mule on such occasions as a symbol of strength. This is recorded in 1 Kings 1:33. Now, even though many in the crowd considered Jesus a conqueror, calling him their king, the traditional king's welcome was not extended to the man Jesus. There was no welcoming delegation of noblemen and governors to greet and escort him into the city. Before starting on his journey to Jerusalem, Jesus predicted that the government officials, the Pharisees, and religious leaders would reject him. He even spoke of humiliation and death. He knew he would not be welcomed in the holy city by bureaucrats and executive officials, commenting that even the priests were waiting to disgrace him. They planned to send him to the cross in the presence of the very people who expected him to be a king. This is why he chose an ass instead of a mule, like the kings of Judah, to ride into the holy city. He knew there were expectations which he simply was not going to meet. He continually repudiated all the gossip and rumor of him as a conqueror and restoring the kingdom of Israel as their king. It may be that even the disciples had expected this to be the case. Jesus tried to impress upon the people that his kingdom was not of this world. Jesus wanted to enter Jerusalem humbly and meekly, according to the prophecy, hoping to quiet the rumors of grandeur and magistry. The accepted tradition was that a king came riding on a horse when his intent was war. Surely Jesus, as a conqueror, should have chosen to ride a horse, or at least a mule, which, as 1 Kings tells us, acknowledged a symbol of strength. A king who came riding on an ass came in peace. This action of Jesus is a sign that he was not that warrior figure men had dreamed up, but the Prince of Peace. This sudden departure from tradition startled the disciples and those who knew of the tradition. How could a king coming in peace overthrow the government? What were his weapons and ammunition? The minds of those who gathered that day were filled with a kind of mob hysteria. Here was the one who was to come. But they looked for the Messiah of their own dreams and their own wishful thinking. They did not look for the Messiah whom God had sent. Jesus drew a dramatic picture of what he claimed to be, but no one there that day understood the claim. Now, in the background, there were the Jewish authorities. They noticed the crowd's fascination with Jesus, declaring him their Messiah and their king, demanding that he show himself in that way. The Jewish authorities felt frustrated and helpless. They simply were not able to stop the attraction of this man, Jesus. The whole world, they said, is gone off after him. Now, some Pharisees were also present that day. They became frightened by the enthusiastic shouts of the multitudes, and they said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Jesus replied, "I tell you, if these were silent, their very stones would cry out," meaning that it was indeed appropriate for the people to give honor to their Messiah, and that even the inanimate stones would protest if the people were not able to acclaim him. Now, judging according to the traditional welcome for a king, we could consider Jesus' entry into Jerusalem to be a political failure. The leaders and government officials of the historic city ignored him. instead of being welcomed by the governor and the high priest and entertained in their palaces, his disciples had to seek a place to eat and lodge at Bethany. On Passover evening, they had to sleep in Gethsemane, which was a garden, a public park. On the other hand, his entry into Jerusalem was a spiritual and moral triumph. Soon, he would be crowned an everlasting king, the one whose kingdom is not of this world. The temporal forces were to fall down before the power of the new kingdom. The traditions of the elders were to be replaced by the teaching of the new gospel. It is the teaching of the new gospel that we celebrate today. Jesus is the way shower, and what he showed us we refer to as the Jesus Christ way. There is deep meaning and significance associated with the events of Holy Week. The crowning glory is that shout on Easter morning, "He is risen. Christ in us is our hope of glory." However, in order to experience this realization, we must first release the sense of humanhood that we have carried as our sense of identity. Crossing out ego and sense desires does not come easy. And for some of us, it may take a very long time. For this reason, we are encouraged to follow the Jesus Christ way. Jesus began with his entry into Jerusalem. The metaphysical writers describe Jerusalem as a habitation of peace, the spiritual center in consciousness. The chatter of words and chaotic thoughts are not conducive to spiritual awakening. To follow Jesus, we too must seek a place of peace. Now, we probably will not take this step exactly as Jesus did. We will not be traveling to Jerusalem, to an actual city, with people greeting us with shouts of Hosanna, spreading palm branches on our path. Nor do we come forth in pomp and pageantry, decked out in robes and wearing crowns. No one is expecting us to be their king or establish a kingdom. So in our time of awakening to the spirit within, we enter our place of peace, void of trappings and demonstration. We read that Jesus rode on a donkey, that stubborn animal that needs to be trained. To ride one is to make it obedient to our will. It is the human aspect drawn to miracles and demonstrations which needs to be trained. To enter a consciousness of peace, we must first gain control over the thoughts, the wants, and desires of the little self. The human self must bow down before God. We actually began this preparation during the period of time called Lent. This was a time of fasting from the work of human thought, abstaining from negative and erroneous ideas that would keep us out of a consciousness of peace. As we continue our journey through Holy Week, we are reminded of our hope of glory, ever awaiting our recognition. I am that I am is the sounding clarity of spiritual reality. Come thou almighty King is the song that calls forth Christ, the one that can do great things. This morning let us experience the Palm Sunday message, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? Let us begin the experience called Holy Week with prayer. Take time to be holy. As we release our thoughts and our emotions, we are alone with God. In the stillness of our own soul's awareness, we give recognition. It is there that we feel his presence. This is a place of peace and serenity. In this state of consciousness, we cross out the erroneous thoughts and ideas that we entertain about us. It is there that we lay down the human nature so that Christ is our only reality. All things are made new. Old things pass away. And now we can say, it is finished. Throughout the coming week, abide in this consciousness, steadfastly facing thee, there is none else. In this holy time of celebration, I say, come thou, Almighty King, your time has come. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen. Peace, and have a blessed Holy Week.